Chari
Mama Tira Vanna Chari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Janda Bala Ba Grivara Dari Yashoda Nam Danda Braja Janaran Danda Namuna Tira Vanda Narayanam namaskrityam Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udayaraye Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya So Srimad Bhagavatam 3:32-7 August 13th 2008 Year of our Lord Surya
Surya
Dvarena
Dvarena
Through the path of illumination.
Through the path of illumination.
They. Yanti.
Yanti.
Approach.
Approach.
Purusham.
Purusham.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Vishvataha.
Vishvataha.
Mukham.
Mukham.
Whose face is turned everywhere.
Whose face is turned everywhere.
Para avara isham, the proprietor of the spiritual and material worlds. Prakritim, the material cause. Asya,
of the world.
Utpati,
of manifestation.
Anta.
Of dissolution.
Bhavanam. The cause. Surya Dwarena Teyanti.
Surya Dwarena Teyanti.
Purusham Vishvatamukam.
Purusham Vishvatamukam.
Paravaresham Prakritim.
Paravaresham Prakritim.
Asyotpati anta bhavanam
Asyotpati anta bhavanam
Bulye Surya dvarena te yanti Purusham vishvatau mukam Paravesharam prakritim Ashyotpanti yata bhavam
Surya dvarena te yanti
Surya dvarena te yanti
Purusham vishvato mukham
Purusham vishvato mukham
Paravaresham prakritim
Paravaresham prakritim
Ashyotpanti yata bhavanam
Ashyotpanti yata bhavanam
Marjis, okay.
Surya-dvare-nte-yanti Purusham-vishvato-mukham
Surya Dwarena Te Yanti Purusham Vishvato Mokam Pararabharesham Praktim Ashyotpati Antabhavanam. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Through the path of illumination, such liberated persons approach the complete personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds, and who is the supreme cause of their manifestation and dissolution. Please repeat. Through the path of illumination,
such liberated persons
approach the complete personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds,
and is the supreme cause of their manifestation and dissolution.
What was purport? The word Surya Dwarena means by the illuminated path or through the sun planet. The illuminated path is devotional service. It is advised in the Vedas not to pass through the darkness, but to pass through the sun planet. It is also recommended here that by traversing the illuminated path, one can be free from the contamination of material modes of nature. By that path, one can enter into the kingdom where the completely perfect personality of Godhead resides. The words Purusham Vishvato Mukham mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all perfect. All living entities other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very small, although they may be big by our calculation. Everyone is infinitesimal. And therefore, in the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal amongst all eternals. He is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and the supreme cause of manifestation. Material nature is only the ingredient, because actually the manifestation is caused by his energy. The material energy is also his energy. This is a combination of father and mother, is the cause of childbirth. So the combination of the material energy and the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the manifestation of the material world. The efficient cause, therefore, is not matter, but the Lord Himself. Interesting. Baba Ji, any questions? Comments? Baba Prasad Ji. Yeah?
Through the sun planet?
Yeah. Yeah?
How do you do that?
You gotta hold your breath. Yeah. Well, it's talking about, it says, through the path of illumination, but this is a continuation versus continuing this idea. Again, in the last chapter, Lord Kapila is describing the process of Varnashram Dharma, which takes us to sannyas, which then means renunciation, right? And he says the perfection of that is that you see that God is everywhere, right? And then you begin to see him actually as being, you know, localized everywhere with form and character and nature. But then he starts off by talking to about the opposite people who don't follow these things. The personality of God is said, the person who lives in the center of household life derives material benefits by performing religious rituals. Okay? This is one path, right? And thereby he satisfies his desire for economic development and sense gratification. And again he acts in the same way. So this is the path of darkness. Such persons are ever bereft of devotional service due to being too attached to sense gratification. And therefore although they perform various kinds of sacrifices and take vows to satisfy the demigods and forefathers, they are not interested in Krishna consciousness, devotional service. So in the Bible, in Socrates, you find these things, so vows, austerities, you know, fasts. And what purpose though? Yeah, sense gratification. Yeah. In the Phaedo, Socrates' last dialogue, it's a very nice discussion. He says that every act of sense gratification or sense rejection is another nail that nails the pure soul to the tree of the body, like that.
like, you know, eat too many gulab jamuns, get your finger nailed to the tree of the body. Eat whatever. Smoke a cigarette, you know, three fingers nailed to the body. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and finally you're just, you know. And he says, do you think such a person will depart this world free and unfettered to go and live forever with the gods? And his disciples say, no. Yeah, where the body is going, he's going. Like that, you know. So you got to pull the nails out, like that, you know. Yeah. Such a person is bereft of devotional service. Socrates says, then all he can see is that which is gross, heavy, and corporal, because he's absorbed in the body like that. So he can't see devotional service, which is fine, light, never ending, and always increasing in knowledge. Such materialistic persons attracted by sense gratification and devoted to the forefathers and the demigods can be elevated to the moon, where they drink an extract of the Soma planet. They again return to this planet. So again, this is not through the sun planet. This is the moon planet, Pitriloka, places like that. Okay. All the planets of the materialistic persons, including all the heavenly planets, such as the moon, are vanquished when the Supreme Personality of God, Hari, goes to bed on his bed of serpents, which is known as the manifestation. Those who are, on the other hand now, the contrast, those who are intelligent and are a purified consciousness, are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Free from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, they are situated in their own occupational duties. They act as one is expected to act. So you're still talking about devotional service, right? You should do your duty in the orders of life, but not for sense gratification. That's exactly what Krishna told Arjuna, right? You're making all these calculations in terms of rescuing Draupadi and defeating your brother's enemies, but what's the purpose of following your dharma as a kshatriya? Well, sense gratification. You'll feel good when your wife smiles at you and says thank you and these kind of things. You know? So you're still calculating all this for that purpose. Nivritti dharma nirata nirmama. By executing one's occupational duties and acting with detachment and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of one's consciousness. And by thus executing so-called material duties, he can easily enter into the kingdom of God. Through the path of illumination, such liberated persons approach the complete personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and is the supreme cause of their manifestation and dissolution. The word Surya Dwarena means the illuminated path or through the sun planet. The illuminated path is devotional service. It is advised in the Vedas not to pass through darkness like that. So, of course, this means the supreme sun like that, transcendental sun. Yeah. But on the way there, then we go through fire. You know, the Prabhupada says we have to give up life breathing. Right? Somebody may give up illicit sex, intoxication, including coffee, tea, and cigarettes, gambling, including stock markets. What else? Speculative business enterprises like that. You know? Is business gambling, or is it a careful calculation? Yeah. There's always some risk. And we're taking a risk, this roof's not going to fall on our head, right? Yeah, there's some roof risk, you know. But it's not an unnecessary risk. That's when it becomes gambling. You know, you don't have to take this risk, but out of greed, you know, I'll take it. You know? Yeah. So you give up all these things. Yeah. But you also have to give up life breathing. How many people here are ready to give up breathing air? Nobody. Okay. Yeah. We have to do that. You know? And so where do you get the air from? Where do the walruses get the air from? The seals, the porpoises. Yeah.
From the sky.
Huh?
From the sky.
Well, they're under the water there for half an hour sometimes. They don't get it from their lungs. They get it from their muscles. Right? Yeah. They start to pull prana out of their muscles like that. And they go back up and they refresh themselves. Have you ever been bone tired? It's an American expression. You ever been like that? You're down to the marrow, you feel tired, you know. And when you eat, it goes into you got to take liquids, everything else. So same way, you know, we have to chant and chant and chant and then, you know, start drawing all the lust right? Out of these, out of all the organs and stuff like that, you know. So what goes back in? Maha mantra, you know, transcendental energy. And at that point, our body becomes, you know, directly energized by Krishna, like that. You know? So we have to do this, you know. And that's what. What are the levels? Bhumir. Okay, you have to get free from the, you know, smell. And then what? Bhumir. What? What's next?
Apo.
What's apo?
The water.
Water. Yeah. Rasuham apsakuntaya. So get a good free from the taste, you know, smell, taste, and what? Color.
Yeah. Form.
Yeah. Actually, it says form, but form is also there in touch. Isn't really why bother me. And I saw Prabhupada translating it as color one time. Because he also has form. You can feel the form like that. There's no color. And there's no. Mumrapa lo bayu. No air, yeah. Which is characterized by hard and soft and heat and cold. Like that. Whatever you can feel is prana. Like that. Is there prana here? Is there energy? Tactile energy?
You feel it, prana?
Yeah. Yeah, tactile. There's tremendous prana in this like that. My physics professor said, you don't think there is, you try and pull it apart. It's like, yeah. But it's all in equilibrium like that. But by some processes such as fire, you can start to release it like that. You know? So the body is circulating, and you can feel it. You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, but you can feel it like that. And you get nausea sometimes in your stomach or your like that. Major centers of circulation like that. So this is going in. This is going through these different planetary systems. So then beyond that, so the sun planet especially is characterized by intense prana. Other things are manifest, but they're just, you know, intense, you know. So you have to burn it up. You know, burn up, you know, that body, completely all consumed. You know, that level, you're on the level of the sun planet again. You know, that is Surya. You know. And then what else? Then after that, space, right? Now we're going to... Yeah. Hamlet said, I would consider myself king of infinite space, bound up in a nutshell, if only I did not have bad dreams. Right? Yeah. His whole thing is the same as Arjuna. He has to chastise his family members. He has to kill them. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to escape. But then he knows if he goes away, he'll still think about it. How he didn't do his duty and things like that. Yeah? And so he can't, you know, same as Arjuna. Damned if you do and damned if you don't. And going away, I'll still have these bad memories of what I did. So I would count myself king of infinite space, bound up in a nutshell, if I did not have bad dreams. Great. It's the first one of the first psychological books in the Western world from the time of the Greeks. Very famous. So, okay, then after that, the psychological levels, those are even bigger, more problematic. All my memories, all my ways of thinking about things, you know. So this is, it's described in the second canto. It's in the first chapter? No. Second chapter, right? Got to know this for our examination there. It says that the yogi can go directly to God, but if he has any material desire to see things on the way, then he can go out. It describes going through the different levels and going through the Surya Dwarena and having his material desires burned up, you know, like that as he goes through there. You know, and on like that to higher and higher levels through the Sushumara, one after another. And of course, Prabhupada is saying this is devotional service. You know, other than that, through the Devarena, you can go higher. But you'll go up, you'll go towards the light, but you can also stay there where there's intense illumination, but there's still some contamination. So only by pure devotional service, right? Bhakti mama bijana anti, yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Only by that can you actually burn it up completely. Otherwise, there's something there. Some seeds are still there. You know, like that. That's okay? Yeah? So, as you said, you know, I always put in the Bible here. Probably quoted his mother. It's like, I quote the Bible. People were talking about John the Baptist. Was he really when Christ was there before he appeared? There was one guy named John. He was a very enthusiastic preacher, and went off and living in the desert in Israel like that, and living on locusts and honey. And people think the locust was grasshoppers. That's another name for grasshopper. You know? But actually, they say it was locust beans. So it's kind of wild beans were growing in the trees, and also wild honey. So you can imagine what kind of diet he was taking, just like fresh wild honey and these beans and stuff. And And he was always praying, engaging in vandanam. And he started giving diksha to people with water. And they would promise to give up these bad habits and stuff like that and pray to God. And he was killed by, what's his name, Herod, because he criticized his adulterous activities like that. So he killed him. You know. And so then people were saying something like, well, Christ, oh Christ, oh, you know, was he actually a saintly person or not? Or, you know. And then Christ was criticizing him. He was saying, you went into the desert looking for John the Baptist. You know, you've heard about this guy. But you were looking for a prince in fine clothes like that. And you couldn't see him when he was just this ordinary person, you know, dressed in whatever clothes he could find, but burning with the Holy Spirit like that, on fire just with spiritual radiance and stuff like that. You know? So that's, you know, coming to this level, you know, Devarena, like that. Yeah, happens, right? Little by little. Yeah. It may take several lifetimes, but may I take birth in ISKCON again and again until I purify myself. So any other comments here? I have some questions.
We might only consider this death the Lord of the life only.
Yeah. Was Prabhupada's quoting that was, it says, Tamasi Mam? No. Jyotir Gam, Tamasi Mam, Jyotir Gam. That's what his quote is quoting. So we all agree on this. You know. Actually, the Mayavadis pretty much say you have to come out of the material world and go to Brahman, like that. But then Prabhupada says within Brahman is Parabrahman, like that. It's like they say, you know, the bird is suffering in the desert so much flying, and he sees a green oasis, and the green bird enters into the green oasis and becomes one with the green oasis. But then we see, if you look closer, he's bathing in the water and flapping his wings, and other birds there to associate with, and there's nice fruit and shade and fragrances and singing, and oh, okay. You know, yeah. So it's not just merging into the green oasis like that. Yeah. So that's the first point. Prabhupada makes this point that this is the path. Yeah. It is recommended here that by traversing the illuminated path, Sendero Luminoso, one can be free from the contamination of the material modes of nature. So you've got to burn up these modes of nature. By that path, one can enter into the kingdom where the completely perfect personality of Godhead resides. The words Purusham Vishvato Mukham mean the supreme personality of Godhead. Yeah? Purusham means what?
Enjoyer.
Yeah, means male. Right? If you go to an Indian restaurant and ask where's the bathroom, it says Purusha and Stri. You know? So it's such a simple word, no? Such a simple word. Any person knows what this word means. It means male, like masculine person, like that. But my body's trying to translate it, you know, so many weird ways, you know. Purusha, Vishvato. What does Vishvato mean? What does Vishva mean?
Pardon?
What does Vishva mean?
Directions.
Yeah? Or universe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vishva.
And Mukham?
Face.
Yeah, so he's facing everywhere. Vishvato Mukham. Purusham, that person who is facing everywhere. It's not an ordinary person. Yeah. Purusha Vishvatam means the supreme personality of Godhead who is all perfect. All living entities other than the supreme personality of Godhead are very small, although they may be big by our calculations. Everyone is infinitesimal. And therefore, in the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal amongst all the Eternals. So what verse is Prabhupada quoting here? In the Vedas, yeah?
Nityam Nityanam Ketanam.
Okay. Where is that from? Katha Upanishad. Uh-huh. What verse number? 2.2.13. Yeah. The thing has two parts, and the second part is divided into at least two parts. And this is verse number 13. So you can say it's double trouble for the Maya bodies. 2.2.13. They don't, oh, this is, oh, this is, you know, this is like the the Christians, they say, you always quote this verse, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man goes unto the Father except through him. You know? So this is our verse for the Mayavadis, that, you know, Nityo Nityanam, Chitanam, Chitanam, Eko Bhavanam. I saw Max Müller, a translation of the Upanishads. They were looking through it, and there was a Katha Upanishad, and wow, and I looked back for 2.2.13, it was this completely incomprehensible translation. There is an eternal being, everlastingly eternal. It was just meaningless, you know. And this guy, you know, it's such easy Sanskrit. It was almost for sure, you know, it was a misinterpretation for sure, like that, you know. So, probably, you know, to say all the living entities other than are small, you know, and therefore the Vedas, the Supreme Lord, is called the Supreme Eternal amongst all Eternals. He is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds. Okay, this is in the verse there. And the Supreme Cause of Manifestation. Now Prabhupada goes into a long discussion of manifestation here. Actually, it's only been about maybe 1 year ago I finally figured this out. Prabhupada talks about the material cause, the efficient cause, and...
Greeting.
That's a material cause. Yeah. Ultimate cause. Yeah. And these are categories that Aristotle uses. I finally was looking in my mental speculation, passion, different books, and Aristotle talks about the categories of the material world. There's the ultimate cause, the efficient cause, and the material cause. What is the cause of a clay cup?
The clay, the potter, and the wheel.
Okay, yeah. The clay, the potter, and the wheel. So which is the material cause? Okay, or the ingredient cause? Yeah. Which is the efficient cause?
The wheel.
And which is the ultimate cause? Yay! So now you can go talk with Aristotle. Maybe you were Aristotle. Yeah. Maybe you were Aristotle.
No, I was a potter.
Oh, the potter. Okay. You worked for Aristotle. Yeah. Maybe you was Aristotle. Yeah, Aristotle got all his ideas from the potter, like that. Yeah. So this is probably using the same thing here. He says, therefore, the efficient cause, therefore, is not matter, right? Yeah, but the Lord Himself, because this is the modern scientific idea: is that matter, you know, is combined by itself, boy, with the help of chance. Matter just sorts itself out and gets better. Like that. There are real fundamental problems in this argument. You know, very obvious fundamental problems. That matter, with the help of chance, is organizing and getting better. Like that. You know, which is better? Gray moths or green moths? Which is higher on the evolutionary scale? Do you see the tricky point I'm bringing up here? Which is better? Green moths? Which are higher evolutionarily? Yeah, the same species, they can have children like either one like that. But, you know, you can by natural selection, you can end up with green moths or gray moths from the same family. Which is higher on the evolutionary scale? We're talking about evolution now, right? Which is more evolved? Mr. Scientist. Oh, okay, yeah. This is the argument that you say that during the bucolic period of, you know, plants and vegetables, the moths around England were green colored. Then the birds couldn't see them because they would merge in with this stuff. But when all those factories started producing smoke and everything else and soot, then it became all gray. Then these green moths were, you know, very, very good food for the birds like that because they could see them. But some of them had, you know, gray children just by chance, whatever that means. And so those survived and they couldn't be seen so much like that. You know? So therefore we can conclude, they don't do this, that gray moths are higher on the evolutionary scale than green moths, right? Because things are getting better by chance. We accept adaptation, right? That, you know, species can adapt like that, you know. But evolution is a whole other thing, because that's saying this is better than that. And they say, well, you know, the bigger teeth are better for tigers, who have bigger teeth, are able to kill more things like that and other things. But their teeth kept getting so big that finally they couldn't eat. And they all died out, you know. It's like maybe they, you know, those children would have started to die out before they became so bad they couldn't eat, you know, like that. You know? Many, many logical arguments about this. It requires that there has to be, as far as I can understand, there has to be an ideal already there, right? And therefore the chance perturbations that survive are the ones that are selected by the higher environment that's already there, and they're going towards that. This is the idea of the alchemists, you know, that elements were becoming purified and evolving to a higher thing because it was already there, like that. Nature was already there. But their ideas are coming from nothing. You know, it's just getting, you know, they don't include any kind of higher thing in the environment that can determine that we're evolving and cause us to evolve.
It's just a random progression.
Yeah. And that means it could be anything. And not even, why even call it a progression? It's just a random
process.
Permutation, like that.
And it kind of fits in with the idea that we can make ourselves anything we want.
Yeah.
We can become whatever we want to be. We can become what?
Yeah. If you want to be. But why not become a cockroach? In the end, the cockroaches will survive. Yeah, so that means that the cockroaches are the highest thing of evolution, like that. Highest thing, because human beings, human beings were an experiment by evolution that went down this kind of dead-end path. You know, evolution was experimenting with more and more logical intelligence, but it didn't work out. They destroyed themselves. You know. So that line got closed out, and the cockroaches went on perfecting their existence as cockroaches, like that. You know, survival of the fittest. No? Yeah. A lot of logical arguments, fundamental, you know, things. Another one is that Bertrand Russell, our Nobel laureate, and, you know, he said that the most important idea in the 20th century is the idea of chance, because nobody has the slightest idea of what it means. You start asking people, and, you know, it's just, you know, science. Well, a chance event is a random event. What's a random event? A random event is an event the outcome of which cannot be predicted. Oh, okay, so what is it? Well, it's just that what you can, it's neti-neti. Well, it's not this, it's not that, it's not this, not that. It's not this, not that. What is it? Well, it's not this. What is it? Not this. Neti-neti. Yeah, they don't really know, it's just, yeah, okay.
That's what chance is.
Okay.
Chance is a euphemism for ignorance.
Yes, yes. Probably we can make it into an acronym like that. C-H-A-N-C-E, something like that. Cause heuristically. Yeah. So fundamental problems, this actually had this movie, this drama. So anyway, here Papa goes into this thing that's talking about that. Therefore, what is the cause? Because obviously there's a cause. Obviously there's something making things organized in a very, very, you know, intelligent way. You know, like that. And so what is that? And here he's saying that, of course, it's talking about, where is it? It's right here. Para. Avara Isham, right? Yeah, the proprietor of the spiritual material worlds, like that. Yeah? And so those people who are engaged in this Varnashram Dharma, and that's the point again, you should do your Varnashram Dharma as long as you have even a little bit of attachment, you know, like that. For what purpose? Nivritti Dharma Nirata means constantly engaging and executing religious activities for detachment. How many people here have a little lust in their character? Like to eat good food, you know, have warm weather, smell good fragrances? No? He's finished. This guy's finished over here. Yeah, stoic. Okay, so what should you do? You know, that lust fits into Varnashram Dharma. You know, there's Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, right? And Stri Dharma. This is five kinds of lust. That's what it is. Brahmana lust, Shudra lust, Vaishya lust, ladies lust. Okay. What is Brahmana lust?
Huh?
Yeah, he wants to know. Yeah. And so I suppose confronting all these bhakti shastri things and all these bhakti bhai bhava and everything else, I can see that that's the danger, is that, you know, what did you learn from your teacher, Monkey and Piggy? Oh, we learned to be proud that we know more verses than other people. That's what you learn. Yeah, that's what we learn. We learn to be proud of our analytical, you know, knowledge of the scriptures, like that. You know? Did you find Krishna? No, we cut everything up so much we couldn't even find Krishna anymore. You just cut it off. This verse is connected to that verse. This is a logical thing that Krishna's talking about. That, you know? That's why there's this, during World War II, there was a standing rule at the beginning of the war: never engage in a dogfight with a Zero. The Zeros were the Japanese airplanes. And actually, they interviewed the guy who designed them after the war, like that. It wasn't too long ago. So the government came to him and they said they wanted 100 It's a 175 power horsepower engine on this weight like that. It was really a challenge like that. But he designed the whole thing, and he came up with this fighter plane, which was just incredible. You know, the Americans didn't have any fighter plane that could compete with it. And so the rule was just basically never engage in a dogfight, you know, a fighter fight with a Zero, because they were faster, more maneuverable. The only hope was that American planes could dive faster. And so the guy couldn't quite follow you fast enough, and a second plane would come and shoot them from behind like that. So finally, they got something better like that. You know? So there's this kind of standing rule amongst all these analytical scholars of Prabhupada's books. Never try to analyze the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. I've seen people say, just don't do it. It's just like, you try it off and Prabhupada's talking about this and he's talking about that and it seems to go like this and that, but then it's like, you know, it's just like after about, you know, seven pages, you start just to go mad, you know, trying to like analyze it like that, what he's talking about and stuff, you know. So, you know, but it's printed as a separate book. You know. Introduction to my book, Upadeshamrita. It's very logical. It talks about Krishna, Radha, Gopis, Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami, six Goswamis, Narottam Das Thakur, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sankirtan movement, us, and how they're all related like that and stuff, you know. But Prabhupada, he starts with Rupa Goswami, then he goes, you know, like that, you know. So there's some kind of other guiding principle to his organization of those people. But in the end, it's all there. It's a parampara, a functional parampara, functioning parampara, you know. But when he's presenting it, he doesn't go like I did, like that, this, you know, analytical line. There's some other guiding principle behind it, which may be, you know, tastefulness, right? Rasa. So that's the whole purpose of analytical study, understanding these things, you know, through tastefulness. And here he's, you know, it's one aspect. And he's talking about this Varnashram Dharma. So we should do this. And if we have, you know, ladies' lust, brahmana's lust, I have brahmana's lust, you know. And somebody else says shudra's lust, wants to eat. I like eating too, you know. Yeah. Or money, right? Vaishya, right? Profit, you know. And kshatriya, honor. Okay. What should you do with those things? Should you renounce them? Should you just go away from those things? No. What did you say? Constantly engage in executing religious activities for detachment. Yeah, I see that. When I read that, I'm seeing, yeah, I do that. You know, I eat burfi, mahaprasadam, right? But for the purpose of becoming detached from eating burfi, right? Yes, it's like killing for chastity. Yeah, no, sorry, killing for peace, war for peace, right? Yeah. Yes. From eating burfi.
So,
yeah.
How does it work?
You eat the burfi, praying to Krishna to use all the energy that you're getting from your lusty activities to engage you in devotional service to purify your senses so you're getting a higher taste so you're not attached anymore.
So you say that or you think that.
And you do it. And you do it. Yeah. It's the same thing. You have maybe ladies attached to very beautiful clothes and beautiful cloth and ornaments like that and houses. Okay, so you help design a beautiful temple. And you realize, I'm doing this because I'll enjoy this. Krishna will also enjoy it. He'll accept it. But I'll enjoy this. But I don't want to do it so I get more and more lust for these things. I want to do it so after I'm finished, I don't have to do it anymore. If Krishna wants me to, okay. But what does Krishna really want me to do? Yeah? Not that I'm doing all these things because I like them. That's karma yoga. And karma yoga means varnashram yoga. Yeah.
So the idea is,
yeah,
whatever activity you do,
yeah,
you consciously pray or make an effort.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll be just material activity.
It'll still act, but if you do it constantly, consciously, the reaction will be faster, like that. If you do follow Varnashram Dharma without Gyan, which we're doing, you know, then the reaction will be there, but then it'll be slower. But if you follow it with knowledge, conscious praying, then the reaction will be faster. It's like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this section's about this. It's karma yoga, you know, and how it can take you all the way, all very high. You know, I don't know how high is. Actually, what next verse is going to talk about where it'll take us. Should we read one more verse? Okay. Repeat after me. Dwiparardha.
Dwiparardha.
Two parardhas.
Two parardhas.
Yeah, sure. Avasane.
Avasane.
At the end of.
At the end of.
Yaha.
Yaha.
Which.
Which.
Pralaya.
Pralaya.
Death.
Death.
Brahmana.
Brahmana.
Of Lord Brahmana. Of Lord Brahma. Two. Indeed.
Indeed.
Te.
Te.
They.
Tavat.
Tavat. So long.
So long.
Adhyasate.
Adhyasate.
Dwell.
Dwell.
Lokam.
Lokam.
On the planet.
On the planet.
Parasya.
Parasya.
Of the Supreme.
Of the Supreme.
Parachintakaha.
Parachintakaha.
Thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Now it says parachintakaha. So para doesn't mean, you know, directly God, but Prabhupada translates it that way. It translates it that way because ultimately that's what it's going to explain. That's what it is, ultimately. But here, that's why he has to explain the purports. The worshippers of the Hiranyagarbha expansion of the Personality of Godhead. Now we're on the Devarena. What is it? What's the pathway here? The Surya Dwarena. Okay. Doing our Varnashram system, you know, without with attachment for becoming detached, and we're starting to go up out of the darkness, and it's so bright in the beginning we can't see things, but we start to become accustomed, and what do we see? Hiranyagarbha. Yeah. The worshippers of the Hiranyagarbha expansion, the Personality of God, remain within this material world until the end of two pararadas, when Lord Brahma also dies. Purport. One, thank God, one is a purport. One dissolution is at the end of Brahma's day, and one is at the end of Brahma's life. Brahma dies at the end of two pararadas, at which time the entire material universe is dissolved. Persons who are worshippers of the Hiranyagarbha, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, do not directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaikuntha Loka. Yeah. In the Laghu Bhagavata, no, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's describing when Gopal Kumar, when he goes to Brahma Loka, he's there with Brahma, and Brahma directly sees, you know, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, like that, and directly worships him, like we worship the deities here. He sees him. And then he retires, he doesn't see him for some time, like that. So Brahma's associates can also directly see the expansion of Krishna as Hiranyagarbha. Hiranya. They remain within this universe on Satya Loka, or other higher planets, until the end of the life of Brahma. Then with Brahma, they are elevated to the spiritual kingdom. The word parasya parachintakaha means always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yeah, or being always Krishna conscious. Jai. Shigranga Mahaprabhu ki. When we speak of Krishna, this refers to the complete category of Vishnu Tattva. Now Prabhupada is justifying his, you know, translation of the word para as being Krishna. Krishna includes the three Purusha incarnations, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, as well as all the incarnations taken together. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murta Shukalani Amena Tishtan Nanavatara Makaro Bhuvanesha Kintu Krishna Svayam Samabhavak Paramam Pumando Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Krishna is perpetually situated with his many expansions, such as Rama, Nrisimha, Vamana, Madhusudan, Vishnu, and Narayana. He exists with all his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions, and each of them is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words parashya parachintakaha mean those who are fully Krishna conscious. Such persons enter directly into the kingdom of God. the Vaikuntha planets. Or if they are worshippers of the plenary portion, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, they remain within this universe until its dissolution. After that, they enter. Right? So they have some kind of attachment, you know. But, you know, for example, what comes to my mind is Nitaigor Sundar, his wife, Mother Matsya. Her father was a very nice person. He had some position in the government of India. And sometimes the devotees in Mayapur needed fertilizer, and they went to him, and he made some adjustments so they could get it, you know. And August was helping like that. But he wasn't a devotee. He was a very good person, you know. So, as I understand the story, they took him to see the new temple in Delhi when it was first being opened. And he was very impressed that it was very nice and a very good thing, you know. And then some brahmachari said, well, will you become our life member? And he said, well, I won't become your life member, 11,101 rupees, you know. But everything I have right now, you can take it. So he gave him all the money he had like that, you know. And so they went back home to the house. He had a heart attack and he died like that. And so as soon as he died, she said that the first thing I thought of was just, you know, 45 minutes ago in the temple, he said, whatever I have right now, you can take it all. That as the first thing that she came to her mind, that, you know. And so Krishna comes and says, oh, you know, I want you. Well, I didn't mean that. I meant my money. You know, but you said in the temple, everything you had, I could take. You know, and I was just cheating. I know. Because you wouldn't lie in the temple now, would you? No, but this is, it's not fair. I have more material desires. Well, I don't care. You promised me. It's not fair. Come on. Not fair. So people, they're attached to Hiranyagarbha worship, you know, which is an expansion of Krishna which only exists during the material world's manifestation. So if you're attached to him, when he starts to leave and, you know, you can't bear separation from him, and where is he going? I'm going to go back to Mahavishnu. That's who I am, really, like that. You know, you make a very, you know, some two guys are police officers together, they go out and working. And then one guy becomes so attached to his friend that when he's off duty, you know, he goes home with him and meets his family. And after that, they become personal friends as well, like that, you know. So that's my understanding, is, you know, very purified. It's describing different levels. Well, why describe all these? Because probably we're going through this, you know. The only advantage we have from Lord Chaitanya is we've seen the goal. That's so we can go through it, like, you know, a lot better, like that. But still, we have to go through these things in our devotional service. You know? Yeah, being attached to Hiranyagarbha, if you see Radhanila Madhava's, you know, as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, that's, you know, elevated worship. You know, they're the cause of everything that's happening in my life. You can see that, you know. Now they're doing this, now they're doing that, now they're doing this. My health, my wealth, my entertainment, my prestige, it's all coming from them. And you can see that. And you've seen Garbhadaksha, you know, you've seen in him as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Like that. And again, maybe by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, sometimes we see him as Gopijana Balama, or more constantly, I don't know. Everybody is probably on a different level of consciousness. No? Okay. Any?
If there is worship other in Krishna, and he has to go to the Vaikuntha Loka first.
Gopu Kumar, a question is, if we worship Radha and Krishna, do we have to go to Vaikuntha first? So Briha Bhagavatamrita is same thing, you know. And he makes it to worshiping Vishnu, and he's so happy there. You know, Vishnu is always a youth, and Lakshmi is like a young girl too, and she's always treating Gopu Kumar like her son. And if he does something wrong, she's like suggesting it like that, you know. So he feels so happy there. But still sometimes, especially when Vishnu disappears, because he disappears from Vaikuntha sometimes like that, you know. Then he's still feeling a little bit unhappy and not quite settled. You know, something's not quite right here, you know. So then after some time this is going on, then Vishnu inspires Narada. And Narada comes and talks to him and says, you know, Gopu Kumar, O son of a cowherd born at Govardhan. O son of a cowherd born at Govardhan. Vishnu is very happy with your company and Lakshmi, and they're really, you know, very happy that you're here, you know. But they also appreciate that really you don't belong here. And so he's inspired me to tell you where you belong is Goloka, like that. And you should go there, like that, you know. And he's asked me to tell you that you should go ahead and go on to Goloka while he's gone, because he knows when he's here you won't be able to do it. Like that. He actually has to disappear from your vision, otherwise you would just couldn't leave his association like that, even to go to Goloka. You know? So Gokumar is feeling very happy now. Oh, that's where I should belong. Then I'll be completely satisfied, you know. So how do I get there? The Narada says, okay, well, you see past the Garanga Hall, you go through the Garanga Hall and go out the back door in the parking lot. You know? He says, okay, over there is the pathway to Ayodhya. So you go start heading down the pathway to Ayodhya. Then Gopakumar says, well, but Narada Prabhu, you're telling me to go to Ayodhya? But you said I'm supposed to go to Goloka, you know? Then Narada, when he looks at him and laughs, and he says, that's the quickest way, right? So the fastest way to Goloka is through, you know, wherever you're at, whatever level you're at, but then there's a fastest way is just to go up through this pathway like that, you know, so on. So the fastest way for Gopakumar to get to Goloka was to go through Ayodhya, you know? So for most of us, yes, it's just...
Krishna told him, I'm waiting for you for a very long time.
Because I wasn't running, you know.
What is the reason of the race?
So, I mean, his point. So, second canto, everything's there. We're just discussing the same things in more detail. So in the second canto, it makes that point that some people, they can go directly, but some people have these attachments and they have to go through these different levels like that. You know? So for them, that's the fastest way. To burn up these desires is to go through them like that. Well, because they just try to renounce them. Some people call this the bhakti yo-yo. You know, I renounce everything for 3 months, then I fall back down and get involved in this again, and watching movies, and you know, and having playing games with my friends, and you know, then I get sick of it, and I renounce everything. I won't watch any more movies. I won't, you know, read the paper anymore, or politics. You know, and for 3 months I'm up there again, and you know, so it's kind of like, you know, like this, and probably that will also take you back. You know, but Rupa Goswami. The Nectar Devotion, it says one of the offenses in devotional service is taking more service than you can actually do. That's one of the offenses like that. And when Prabhupada explains that, he specifically talks about the service of japa. And he says one should not initiate a devotee, but one should take a vow to do a number of rounds that he can do for a certain time. Like you say, okay, from now until Jamastami, I'm going to chant 4 rounds a day. Somebody's coming like that. Then maybe something. Can I do that? You really think about it. Really, say, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. There's no excuse. So then your mind starts to give you trouble. You know, your intelligence is fixed. No. And even if I made a mistake, we're not going to die before Jamastami by doing 4 rounds a day. So sit down and chant. You know, so it's the same thing. It's that. It's better than like chanting 64 rounds one day and this and that. It's better to, what can you actually do? And then take a vow and do it like that. So I can't come to Goloka right away, even though I know it's like that. But I can be on the level of like, you know, this or that, you know. And okay, so I'll do that. So then after that I'll go up, you know. This is better than, you know. Even you find people, they cannot follow the four principles. They took vows and stuff like that. They can't do it. They come back to some level where everybody says, oh, wow, at least he's got a stable platform, you know, where he's only smoking one cigarette a day. He got it down to, he has to have that, but he's got like, okay, Prabhu, it's actually it's better to this and going up and falling down like that, okay. And then they used to start coming to this point of, you know, reducing on Sunday. No cigarette on Sunday, you know, yeah. Yeah. And we're all like that, no? Everybody's got their different attachments. And it's just, bhakti yoga means the process of progressive rules and regulations. So by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, maybe, yeah, again, we can do this, you know? But usually we find is that, you know, we get the experience, we get the taste, okay, I'm going. But then we have to just come and work through these different things like that. You know, karma. Most people are karma yoga. Yeah. But it's with the goal of bhakti, pure devotional service, like my Lord said, karma mishra bhakti yoga. That. Who's an example of a jnana mishra bhakti yogi? In the third canto. It's the example of a jnana mishra bhakti yogi. Huh? Maybe. Yeah. And when they became pure devotees. Because they were going to go see Vishnu out of some bhakti, I think, like that. You know, but they were, you know, and then they realized something else. I think of Maitreya. You know, he was there when Krishna was talking to Uddhava. You know, so Uddhava, he was talking to Uddhava, giving him a class like that, talking about the details, and then Maitreya comes in, and it's like Sunday feast, some very pious, you know, university professor comes in like that, visiting, and so then the speaker then nods and indicates, give him a chair, that chair like that, but doesn't talk with him like that. So same way, Krishna gave a nod to Maitreya, please sit down like that, because he knew he was, you know, he was still attached to his gyan. So this professor says, very wonderful class, very interesting, but I think that maybe when we were talking about this, we could look at it a different way, like that, you know, so on. So he's attached to gyan. Yeah. Okay, so what's the fastest way to get free from that? To renounce it? No? To use it for Krishna. Apply it. Yeah. Test it and test his philosophy with your jnana and stuff like that. Satisfy it. And that's why there's so much logical stuff. If you're a logical guy, we have all these books and stuff, you know? Like that. But you don't have to do that. You know, basically, Prabhupada, just two mantras are enough. You know, how many mantras do you know? I know two. But I know them well. I chant 64 rounds a day on beads, and I think I'm chanting about another 64 in my mind. And when I'm cooking, when I'm talking, when I'm preaching, always just taking shelter of these two mantras again and again, like that. You know, that's enough. So, okay, we got to Hiranyagarbha. Okay, we're ready to go back to Godhead. It's okay. Well, it's not okay. Actually, tomorrow you'll find out. Who gives class tomorrow? I'm going to do it. Okay. Don't let him escape. We'll catch him. Yeah. Tomorrow then we're going to find out that there are problems, even at the level of Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyagarbha worship, that you still can fall down. Yeah. So Prabhupada ki. Kapila Muni ki. Mahaprasadam ki. Akadasi Parayana ki. Pizza. What else? Okay. Cheese sandwiches. Cheese sandwiches and homemade bread. With alfalfa sprouts. So I got Bandhu, my third disciple in Mexico. He's a Shudra Vaishya family. His father like had a bus and would drive it, small bus and drive it. And he got two small Volkswagen things and would rent them out to other guys. So it was like a, you know, Vaishya Shudra family. But the thing is that his devotee is advancing, you know. Like Hanuman, he gave him to me, and then I gave him to Shringadeva to keep at his house. You know. This time when I was there, I had one of these before. I bought it with my Vyasa Puja money 5 years ago. It cost $108. And it was very useful for me, very useful. But then it broke. And what happened is the on-off switch stopped working, so I can't turn it off, and it's really falling apart. You know. But a miserly guy, and was, you know, using it to the very end. But finally, said, "Guys, should I buy a new one or not?" So he got this. He bought this one for me. He looked at all the models. This is like, you know, it was, yeah, this is exactly what, you know, useful for me. Yeah, Krishna inspire you to be useful to it. Okay, Varna Ashram Dharma.
I just want to say something to you.
Okay.
I don't know how, but I feel more thirsty to hear you.
Ah.
Because you talk with a lot of other references, like Socrates,
yeah.
Greeks, and this,
my mother.
That, which always attracts me.
Yeah.
Because what I know from the Vedic knowledge, grew up in that time, as much as my father was a Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
I have that, but I feel like I'm enclosed. If I don't learn about others,
yeah.
Like I live in the Western world,
yeah.
To the Western,
yeah.
Heart. And somebody like you, who was initially probably Westerner.
Yeah, I still am. Paschakta Deshi. Probably has come to deliver me.
That makes me feel so good. I don't want to just not acknowledge. I do want to know the perspective of
somebody. It's all Vedic knowledge. But, you know, Prabhupada says whatever knowledge exists in the world is coming from the Vedas like that. And then we see it coming through different sources like that. But yeah, whatever environment we're in, that's Krishna's put us here.
Yeah. Right, since I'm in the Western world for so long, and I feel like that's not fair for me not to deeply know that.
I
really want to know more about Bible and stories and everything.
Yeah.
I did one course
on
Bible and the literature.
Ah.
And,
good teacher?
Very good teacher.
And, that's the trick.
And not only that, it's just...